I want to take just a minute. I wouldn't be much of a Christian or, you know, an effort to be a gentleman if I did not express to the elders here for asking me to speak, to preach, and while Jimmy is away. It is a great honor, and I want you to know that. And I have a verse I want to read that I like to make a point before we start. It says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and the love which you showed toward His name, in that you ministered unto the saints and still do minister." I read that because to me it's an honorarium of Pam and Jim and their great work that they've done through the years. And I appreciate and love them very much, as well as you. I believe that verse summarizes the way I feel about Jimmy Clark and his work and the support that Pam gives him. If you're visiting with us, I am not the regular preacher. You'll find that out in a few minutes. I feel like you've had steak all this time. Now you get a piece of moldy bread. So I do the best I can, and I'm very honored to be here and be asked to speak in Jimmy's absence. I realize, first of all, some have asked me about an old sheet chart. Some don't even know what they are, I'm sure. But I selected one today. I'd like to have it in the front where I usually put them, and that way most everybody could see what's on it. And I realize that some of you won't be able to see, but if you'll just listen carefully, it'd be like an oral lesson. And I've got a big sheet of paper up here for my notes, so if you'll just listen, the same results I hope will take place. I've always enjoyed preaching these. I've not evolved yet to the modern-day technology of the PowerPoint. I tell people all the time, that's my stick, that's my point, and what little muscle I got is my power, and that's about as modern as I can get. When I think about today's lesson, though, let me introduce this before we unveil the sheet, and then we'll talk about the things that I have prepared. The God of heaven, in Genesis 1, verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And when I think about that and the things that follow in chapter 1 and chapter 2, that on day 1, God made day and night. On day 2, He made and created the waters and the land. Day 3, He put the waters in their place, and He put the land in its place, made the trees, the grass, and made the vegetables. And on day 4, He made the sun, moon, and stars. And day 5, He made the fish and the birds. And day 6, He made man, Adam and Eve. And He made all the other animals and the things that creep. To the young people and old alike, never doubt the existence and the power of God, because He made it all. And yet, of all these great truths, in Isaiah 45, verse 5, 12, and 18, God says, "I'm the one true God who made it all. Besides me, there is no God." But it brings me back to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, and Ephesians 3, verses 9 through 12, where God said, before He did any of that in Genesis 1, verse 1, He purposed to give the world the church. Before the foundation of the world, God planned the church. And I find people all along among us who don't have the appreciation or love that one ought to have for the effort that God put forth in giving the scheme of redemption, the plan, to bring Jesus to this world. And then the church would be established. I want my neighbors and friends to know and see and hear the difference between us and them. I want them to know that we love them, we love their souls, we're concerned, but we love God and we love truth. And I want our neighbors to know the difference. Can someone tell me how in the world allowed us to go from the one church you read about in the Bible to now, if you'll do a little research, we have over 60,000 different denominations. And you ask, how is that possible? If I had one sermon to preach, it would be along this line or this exact sermon. In the Bible class, I appreciate some asking me to say a little more about something that I said the 1st of January. And I'll do that today, not the same sermon. But I hope you young people, and I hope we all will never give up on what the Bible teaches concerning that one church and its existence. You travel down the road of Capshaw, you go down Nick Davis, you go down 72, you go down Pepper Road or wherever, and you're going to find various buildings with different names, and the question is why? See, either they are wrong or we are wrong. We both can't be right. But now both of us can be wrong, but we both can't be right. And I hope we can get back with our mentality in teaching the next generation of the preciousness, of the seriousness of the church. That we don't ever give up on God or Christ or the church. That we don't give up on the Bible. That we don't give up on our mate or our children. We don't give up on preachers. And my friend, we don't give up on truth for our nation. God's been so good to us. Again, read Isaiah 49 in verse 16, that our names are written in the palms of God's hand. I carry that with me every day that I live. Who am I to deserve such? You know, when we consider this, let me just read what I've briefly jotted down, and then I'll go to the sheet, and we won't delay the lesson any longer than is absolutely necessary. I'm not going to be one of these that will hold you 2 hours, but in time that I get to where I'm about to quit, if you look at your clock, that won't intimidate me now, okay, because I'm going to finish, but we will be within our allotted time. This is what three men have said that's written books about the Church of Christ. And one is even how not to be a member of the church and why you should not be a member of the Church of Christ. And he gave 101 reasons. And another wrote one book of one chapter, and the other, it was about 5 or 6 chapters. This is what they said about the Church of Christ. That the Church of Christ is only a slop tub of spiritual rejects. That the Church of Christ is wrong on everything. That the Church of Christ only has an imaginary God with imaginary gospel, with imaginary Christ and Savior. The Church of Christ is bewitched and biased and bigoted. The Church of Christ, I have found there's fewer than 6 that will ever be saved. They're a twisted, false cult. The Church of Christ calls God a liar. The Church of Christ deceitfully handle the Bible. And the Church of Christ brings spiritual death and damnation to everyone who believes and who joins their forces. The Church of Christ, their members, are just a bunch of basically ignorant, perverted heretics. Now, why would people be that spiteful and that mean? See, all most people know about the Church of Christ is what they've heard. And most of that's not true. I can assure you of that. I remember on one occasion a few years ago, in a restaurant, a good friend of mine, who was a song leader, was in a local restaurant with some other brethren. And as they were talking at the table about the morning service and how good it was and the lesson and the fellowship, and when my friend, who's an optometrist, got up to pay for he and his wife's meal, a man walked up and said, "I gather that you are a member of the Church of Christ." He said, "Yes, I am. I'm honored even to be a song leader there." And the man with a big booming voice, as loud as he could so everybody could hear, says, "Well, may God forgive you and may He have mercy on your soul." Now, what would prompt people to say that? Things they've heard? Because we believe the truth? Because we try to get them to see their salvation for their souls? Why are people so like that? So today, as I unveil this sheet chart, and again, I know it's going to be uncomfortable for a lot of you, but don't try to strain to see it. I'll just read it off and we'll make the points. As we discuss this, and I know again, like I said, it's going to be difficult to even see some or all of it, but I ask a question today: who drew the circle? And when I ask that question, understand the reasons why. The Bible says in Isaiah 40 and verse 22 that it is God who sits above the circle of the earth. His sovereignty, His might, His power, His control over it all. I don't know where some of us as human beings, in the church even, got the idea that God no longer rules in the kingdom of men. Daniel 4, verse 25. When did He stop doing that? I've heard brethren preach and teach that. God, young people, He is still in control. Proverbs 8, verse 27. God drew a circle in the deep. Had people like Magellan and others read the Bible, accepted the Bible, they would have known the world, the earth, was round. They would have known that. The Bible is an amazing book, as we talked in our Bible class this morning. In Proverbs 30 and verse 6, add thou not to His word, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. At the left top on the chart, I have some scriptures that I'd like to present with you if you'll listen. It's a picture of a man drawing a circle around another circle. He's making a bigger circle than what God had drawn. And the point is this, and the lesson is this, that we must not remove God's ancient landmarks, Hosea 5 in verse 10. God has set parameters around His Word and around His authority, and He says, don't tamper with it. Hosea chapter 5 and verse 10 makes that plain. Matthew 19 and verse 6, God said in Matthew 19 verse 6, Jesus speaking, what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. When God joins something, it is there forever and always. You remember in 1 Kings, we read the story in chapter 12 of how the nation had divided to 2 tribes and 10 tribes. And then the king of the 10 tribes, who was Jeroboam, carried them away and told the 10 tribes, don't go back to Jerusalem. If you go back there and worship the way God commands, don't you think He's asked too much of you? Don't you think God requires too much of you to go back to Jerusalem? Now, what I want to do, I want to set up a golden calf in Dan and one in Bethel, and you can just stay here and worship. You don't have to do it the way God says. And it reminds me of 1 Kings chapter 20. There Ahab was told concerning the Syrians, kill every one of them. Kill all things that they have. But the Bible says Ahab disobeyed God. He made a covenant with those people, and he called them his brethren. He disobeyed God, and you read the latter part of the chapter, and you'll see how God looked upon that. It cost Ahab his life. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, the Bible says, don't go beyond the things that are written, and that we must not. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 17, I taught the same thing in every church. Paul did not believe that we can all interpret the Bible as we see fit. He did not believe at all that the Bible was a matter of option, as a matter of choice. Paul never taught that, nor did he believe that. In the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, the Bible says that Jesus purchased the church with His blood. Now, I said that because we've just mentioned a few of these scriptures. We'll not give them all. That here is God that says, don't remove My landmarks. Don't tamper with My word. Revelation 22, verse 18 and verse 19. Don't add to it. Don't take from it. Well, that's what you see Ahab did. You see, that's what Jeroboam did. They went beyond what God had commanded. But Jesus said, I purchased the church with My own blood. All of His blood. Young people, not just part of it. But He purchased the church with all and every drop of His blood. When the temple was dedicated, back in the Old Testament, when you read books like 1 Kings 3 and others, you'll see at the dedication, there was 22,000 oxen slaughtered that day and 120,000 sheep. And it would fill up a swimming pool about 100 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 5.5 feet deep. And all of that blood could not wash away one white lie. But what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. If we discount the purchase price of the church, we're discounting God's scheme and plan for mankind. I want to ask a question before we proceed, and that is, if God was satisfied with the church that was established on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, in the year 33 AD in Jerusalem, if God was satisfied, why is man not satisfied? If people were baptized for the remission of their sins, Acts 2:38, and they were, and they were all added to that church in the first century, Acts 2, verse 47, if they were saved in the first century, then why aren't we satisfied with that same church? Now, this may be to some, not to you, it may be to some as negative and hard preaching, but my brother and sister, we better get back to the pattern of teaching the one church and how to get into that church and keeping that church pure, or we're going to lose our identity. We're going to lose our focus. We're going to lose our mission. And God is going to be displeased. As we think about this now, on this side of the chart, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one goes to the Father except by or through me. Now, did Jesus tell the truth? Absolutely. Because no one goes to the Father except it is through or by Jesus. That is the only way to get to heaven. That is the only way to please God and save our souls. In Jeremiah 7 and verse 4, the Jews had gotten to the point where they said this, to the temple, to the temple, to the temple. They thought just going to the temple was everything about religion. And they were living like the world outside the temple. Brother and sister, we need to be careful. We need to not only be the church of the Bible, we need to act like it and we need to live like it. And as we think about this, old Job asked the question and he wrote, because he said this later on in the chapter, he has some questions, but God asked him this question. He said, Job, who will argue with me and who will annul my judgments? Who will contend with me and who will condemn me? We need to be like Job when he says, I tried once, maybe tried twice, but then I put my hand over my mouth and I shut up. We need to stop arguing with God. And you'll see why I made that statement in just a few minutes. Now, quickly, because we need to get through the lesson. In the circle that I have drawn, and I know some of you can't see it, but I ask a question. Who drew the circle? Keep in mind, God says, don't tamper with my words. Don't be like those of 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 5, 4 and 5. Give us a king that will be like all the other nations. And in verse 20, they made that plain. They said, the reason we make this request, we want to be just like the people around us. If we try to make the church like those around us, we have failed. We need to change people, not the church. And this is our lesson today. And around this circle, you see, we have God's authority, and it's by Jesus and through Jesus that we have salvation. But inside this circle, I have six things just listed that I want to mention briefly. That circle represents God's authority, Colossians 3, verse 17. All that you do, all that you say, all that you teach, make sure you have Bible authority for it. It comes to the name. That's within God's authoritative circle that I call it. We find the church because it's in the church that we give God glory. Ephesians 3 and verse 21. The Bible says that salvation is found in Christ. 2 Timothy 2 verse 10. Now, if we are in Christ and the church is where we give God glory, then we need to abide by His authority. We have all spiritual blessings in Christ, Ephesians 1 and verse 3, not outside. Colossians 1 verse 18, the Bible says Jesus is ahead of the body, the church. He is the head. He is the authority of the church. Thus we have this. Within that circle we have the church. And we have the name that God says, by my authority, Romans 16, 16, the churches of Christ salute you. Now, I know that's a negative term, even with some brethren, which is a crying shame. The Bible says the churches of Christ salute you. Acts 4, verse 12, there is but one name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. I give this Bible to anyone in the auditorium and ask you kindly and politely to take it and show me where you are a member of some religious group. Find it in the Bible. Is that too much to ask? That we must have Bible authority for all that we do and say? You see, there's no such thing as an atheist Christian. There's no such thing as a Hindu Christian. Names are important. And we hear all the time, Brother Floyd, for an example, that it doesn't matter what name you wear. Names do not make a difference. A man in Piedmont, Alabama, on radio on one occasion, a denominational preacher said, names does not matter to God. We can call the church Jack Rabbit if we want to. Jack Rabbit. Names do matter. Thus, I could call it, you know, Tim Carter's church. I could call it Jezebel's church. I could call it McDonald's church if names do not matter. Why, take Brittany for an example. When her two girls were born, what do you think she named those children? Jezebel? Bin Laden? Hitler? What'd she name one of them? Monkey Nose? No, she named them but name that meant something. And when you order at a restaurant, what do? You look at the menu and say, it doesn't matter, bring me anything. When God said the unleavened bread and fruit of the vine, that's all God had to say. He named these things. He named them. And names mean something. Not only that, but within this circle, we find God says about fellowship is important. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 beginning, to be in fellowship with you, I must be in fellowship with God. And we need to not have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Ephesians 5 and verse 11, here is a standard of proof for fellowship right here. Don't be like old Ahab with the Syrians. Don't violate what Paul said. Never have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. If any man bring not this doctrine, bid him not Godspeed. Within that circle, we find God's doctrine, 2 John 9 through 11, the verse we just mentioned. If anyone comes to you and bring not this doctrine, bid him not Godspeed, nor have fellowship with his unfruitful or evil deeds or ways. Thus, we have this question here. What is the doctrine? It's what God said. The Bible states God said some 40 times between Genesis 1 and Genesis 11. God said, God said, God said. And that's what we need to be preaching. That's what we must be preaching. You see, that's what Moses learned the hard way when God says to speak to the rock and Moses hid it. And Deuteronomy 1, verse 37, Moses says, God was angry with me. You mean, Ken Butterworth, that God was angry with Moses because he hit the rock instead of speaking to it? Yes. When he told Noah to build the ark of gopher wood, Genesis 6, verse 14, if Noah had put one plank, one board of pine in that ark, it never would have floated. It had to be gopher, all gopher. In Numbers 19, verse 1 beginning, when God told them to offer the sacrifice of purification, He says, you take this red heifer that has no blemish, it's never been plowed. Well, could I take a red heifer that was worn out by plowing? Could I take a white heifer? Could I take a red heifer that had one blemish? We must do what God said, and the way that God said to do it. Then there's the organization that God put within this circle. Philippians 1, verse 1. There should be elders and deacons and saints. I told one man that, who was head of one of our schools, colleges, that I believe what Paul said, and I believe that's what we should abide by, and that's what we should have. He said, if you believe that, Ken, he said, you are a radical. I said, I believe what Paul said. Elders and deacons and saints. That was sufficient for God. We don't need names on names and doors on doors. We need to follow God's pattern. And then we need to follow His ways in worship. John 4, verse 24. Those that worship God must worship Him in spirit and truth. That's why today we have the Lord's Supper, the unleavened bread, the fruit of the vine. We have teaching, we have preaching, we have singing. My friend, we have giving and we have prayer. The five items that God allows us, gives us the privilege and commands us to go and take and observe every first day of the week. See, this is what we're talking about. This is important. And young people always remember, and some of us older need this. You remember when we used to talk about, and I know Jimmy still does, not many though, as besides him, we used to talk about God's authority. That's why when Brother Floyd led the singing this morning, you know why he didn't lead "You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog"? You know why? You know why he didn't lead "How Much Is That Little Doggy in the Window"? You know why he didn't lead "Wild Thing"? Or we had people banging on instruments up here? Because in Ephesians 5, verse 18 and 19, we use the heart and the lip to sing praises to God. There's 9 verses in the New Testament, and every one of them that has to do with singing, and use the word solo. Means it throughout the New Testament. There's not a man alive that can talk about using an instrument in worship and stay in the New Testament 1 second. That's why we sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We observe the things in worship by way of example. We do it God's way. Where does the Bible say now, you'll hear this, young people, where does the Bible say that we can't use the guitar, we can't use the piano, we can't use a saxophone? Where does the Bible say we can't? God tells us what He wants. All us men understand that. Here, Tim, go to Walmart. Here, Jerry, go to Walmart. Here's your list. I want 3 things. I want a bag of Fritos, I want a loaf of bread, and I want a quart of milk. Regular milk, real milk's what I call it. Homogenized milk, not skim and all that. Well, you get what's on the list. Your wife didn't tell you everything in Walmart and say, "Now, don't get that." If you ask me for my phone number, Joe, 256-217-5310. I don't give you every number in the phone book and say, "That's not it." I tell you what my number is, and that's the way God does. Where does the Bible say that you cannot have ice cream and cake and Dr. Pepper for the Lord's Supper? Where does the Bible say you can't, Ken? When God tells us what He does want. That eliminates everything else. And if we would understand that, even in the Lord's church, and get back on track with that, we'd be better off. And then baptism is within that circle. Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Baptism is mentioned 100 times in the New Testament. You can't be taught wrong and be baptized right. It's impossible. You can't do it. My friend, baptism is not pouring, it's not sprinkling, it's immersion, it's a burial, it's a covering up. Romans 6, verses 1 through 4. If one can be saved without baptism, then one can be saved without obeying God's command. Mark 16, 16. If one can be saved without baptism, then you're calling God a liar. Because God said, "Baptism doth also now save us." 1 Peter 3:21. If you can be saved without baptism, then you can be saved without contacting the blood of Christ. Romans 6, 1 through 4. If you can be saved before baptism, then you're saved before you're even told what to do to be saved. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Baptism is important. I know we're called water ducks and Bible thumpers and redneck and straight lace and all that. I know that. I've heard all of it. But there's one thing for sure. Brother Jimmy Clark can get on radio or TV and have it open for questions to be called in. And he don't need about 14 commentaries, and he don't need about 10 men supplying him with answers, and he don't have to have all these things pre-recorded. He'll say, "Call in and ask a question, and we will give you a Bible answer." How many other religious groups would do that? It's because we have the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and we walk by the same rule, Philippians 3, verse 16. Now, let me give just the last point. I've tried to point out, and I wish I could go through it all, that Jesus is the founder of the church. He said, "I'll build my church," Matthew 16, verse 18. That name was called in the Bible in the first century, the Church of Christ, Romans 16, 16. The time the church was established was in as Daniel prophesied, the days of the Roman kings in the first century. Even Isaiah said the place would be Jerusalem, as we read in Isaiah 2 and Acts 2. The terms of entrance into that church to get into Christ was to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. God says He organized the church to have elders, deacons, and saints. And He says the worship was this, Revelation 22, verse 9. He says to worship Me. Worship Me, John 4, 23, 24. And He tells us how to do that. I'm now seeing people who are calling it worship. I read about one denomination that brought in 500 canary birds to sing praises to God for their worship service. I read of another one that brought in 35 canary birds to do the same thing. Another one brought in a group of trained seals to honk on horns to the tune of Jesus Loves Me. And now many are having musicals and plays and having barefoot dancers to perform. Are we that far behind in some places? We better have Bible authority for everything that we do. My friend, if you have a fellowship room, have Bible authority for it. If we have singing without the aid of an instrument, have Bible authority for it. If these brethren are going to let a choir get up here and perform for them in worship, they better have Bible authority for it, and they don't. If you're going to get some man-made organization involved with the church, you better have Bible authority for it. You see, to me, that's not being unrealistic. That's not being a Bible thumper or straight lace or moss-backed. That's observing God's ways and pleasing God. Before I say this now, for our last point, any of you who are not members of the Church of Christ, before the God of heaven, as I stand before Him in judgment, we are appreciative and we love you for being with us, to taking the time to be with God's people, to take the time to know more of God and His ways and His church. I would never in any way whatsoever belittle you or make fun of you. Not at all. That's not in my nature or character. But you see, we want you to know the difference between the Church of Christ and the religion that you are a member of. And you weigh these things carefully. Because I'm not going to argue with you a month of Sundays over it. I'll point it out in the Bible and give you the choice. And the choice is yours, as I encourage and pray that you will respond and obey what the Bible says, no more, no less. What I like to do now in closing is this. We have this gentleman here, and some I know may not can see it. He's dressed up in his religious garb. And the Bible says we should all speak the same thing. We should have the same mind and the same judgment. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. The Bible says in Philippians 3, 16 that we should walk by the same rule. You know, there's been a lot of times, especially during the coach we have now, I sat there a lot of times and wish a field goal or a touchdown could be worth 25 points. But I knew we couldn't change the rule book. I knew when a field goal was kicked, I wanted it to be 13 points or 20 points. But it was only 3 points because the rule book so stated. That's why we can't change this rule book. And it will judge us in the last day, John 12, 48. Galatians 6 and verse 7, the Bible says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Matthew 7, 16. He says this. He said, can you get grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? James 3 and verse 12 beginning says, can you get salt water and fresh out of the same, spring, the same source? No. The Bible says in Jeremiah 13, verse 23, can a leopard change his spot or the Ethiopian change his skin? God says it can't happen. Neither can you do good who want and are accustomed to doing evil. You must want to change and make an effort to change. In Matthew 15, verse 13, Jesus says, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. In John 10, and verse 35, the Bible says, and the Scripture cannot be broken. One of my favorites, if I had a favorite, is John 18, verse 34. Knowest this of thyself, Or did another man tell thee concerning me? Do you know what you believe and what you are and what you practice and how you worship and the name you wear because you find it here? Or did Grandpa Smith or Grandma Jones or Mama and Daddy tell you they're not the authority? And nobody ever loved their mama more than I love mine, but my mama wasn't the authority. This right here is. Not only that, but the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1, verse 13, that we must abide by the pattern of the Bible. The pattern, the two posts, the blueprint. If I had a rubber stamp and an ink pad like they used to have, every time I put it in that ink pad and stamped it, young people, it would read the same every time. I used to have one with my name and address and phone number, and guess what? I bet I've stamped that thing 10,000 times. And every time it read the same. It had to read the same because it was the pattern, it was the blueprint. Now this man here, he looks on this side and he sees when God says in Genesis 1, verse 11 and verse 12, that whatever I put into the ground, that's what will come up. God says, what seed you plant, it will produce after its own kind. Now, if you disagree with that, please talk to me after church. That what you plant is what you get. That's what God said. That's why this lady here that I have drawn, she's over here giggling and laughing, and she's telling a friend, she says, you see that little group over there? Supposed to be in heaven. We all heard it. See that little group over there? And her friend says, yeah. And she sniggers and she laughs and she said, that's the Church of Christ. They thought they were the only ones that's going to be here. Ha, 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 ha. The sarcasm of it all. Because of ignorance. Not because they're unlearned in books and knowledge, but according to the facts of the church. This man looks over here, and God says what you put in the ground, that's what will come up. And he sees over here a little bush or a tree, or maybe he sees a vine. And he sees a lemon, a banana, an apple, and a carrot, and a grape all on the same bush. Now, I want to ask you what seed he put in the ground to come up with these five different types of vegetables and fruits. We all understand this and we've heard this, but we need to be reminded. I want to know what seed he put in the ground. Are you telling me he planted maybe a watermelon seed? Or maybe he planted an apple seed and he got all of these things on the same vine or the bush. I'd like to meet him. And this man looks over here and he says, there is no way this can happen. Wouldn't it be nice to plant one seed in your garden and you've got this line, this vine that grows in a straight line about 50 yards and every vegetable and fruit known to man all growing on it. But that's not the case. And this man disagrees with that. But this same man looks over here on the spiritual side. And he says, that's exactly the way it is. And that's what I teach. And that's what I believe. And that's what I get folks to listen that will also follow the same. The Bible says in Luke 8 and verse 11, the seed is the Word of God. Young and old alike. The seed is the Word of God. Here's the seed. In the same parable in Matthew 13, verse 38, the Bible says the hearts of men is the field. We're going to take this seed, Jesus says, and put it in the field, the hearts of men. Jesus said in John 15, verses 1 through 6, especially verse 5 and 6, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. Abide in me, and I in you, you shall bear much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If you abide not in me, you're cast forth, you're withered, you're gathered, and you're burned. Jesus says, I am the vine, you're the branches. Now, does not fruit and vegetables, whatever the vine or the plant or the tree is not that not what on the branches? You can't have a cotton seed vine and have apples and oranges on the branches, you see, off the end of it. You can't do it. And so when Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches, we take the Word of God, we plant it into the hearts of man. I think we all agree, like we take the seed, an apple seed, put it in the ground, and what are you going to get? If I take a purple hull pea like my daddy did for all those years, He truck farmed. And when he put that purple hull pea in the ground, you know what came up in those several acres? Guess what came up every time? I'm going to say watermelons and apples and oranges and okra and cantaloupes? No. Every time that purple hull seed brought up another purple hull. Every time. You see, that's why cats meow and dogs bark and cows moo. That's why foxes have fur and not mankind. That's why chickens lay eggs and not women, human beings, to hatch their babies out. This is a way God planned it. You cannot plant a dollar bill in the ground and wait until a brand new Escalade Cadillac comes up. It's not going to happen. You will get what you plant in the spiritual world and in the physical world. Let's just see now. On this same vine, this man said he has different vegetables and fruits. Now on this vine that's supposed to plant this seed in this world, we have Mormons and Jehovah's Witness, we have Methodists, we have Catholics, we have Baptists, we have Presbyterians, and we have Quakers, all on the same vine. And I'm not saying these names to discredit anybody. I know they're good citizens and they're good parents, and I know that. But pray tell, how in the world can you plant this seed and come up with all these different religious groups? And when you know full well, for an example, that Paul was not a Mormon, Peter was not a Jehovah's Witness, John was not a Methodist, Philip was not a Baptist, James was not a Catholic, or Timothy was not a Presbyterian, and Matthew was not a Quaker. How do you know that, Ken? For an example, the Mormon church was not established until 1830 in New York by a man named Smith. 1,800 years later, he decided there should be another religious group, another church. Well, people were being baptized and being saved and added to God's church, the blood-bought church, 1,800 years before Joseph Smith established his. Take for an example, John the Apostle was not a Methodist, and these are good people with good citizens and, you know, good neighbors. Nobody doubts that. But the Methodist Church was started in England in 1729. Now, how in the world would one expect to say that's the same one you read about in the Bible? Now, if I'm wrong when you leave here today, please pray tell me I'm wrong. How can you plant this and get that? How can you plant a cotton seed and come up with a pear? You can't do it. And one more for the sake of our time. Here is Matthew. He was not a Quaker, and for this we know he wasn't, because a Quaker denomination wasn't started until a man named John Fox in Britain around the year 1691 started that. John Fox is not Jesus Christ. 1691 is not AD 33, and Great Britain is not Jerusalem. I'm not saying these things to be mean or vindictive or to be ugly. You can take every denomination up here and give the one who started it, give the place, and give the time. They all have different names, a different way to be saved, and a different way to worship. God is not the God of confusion. 1 Timothy, the Bible teaches that. 2 Timothy, the Bible teaches that. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, let's speak the same thing. Before we sing the invitation song, on the chart I've got also here Timothy. That Timothy, I know, was not a Presbyterian. And I don't say that in any way to be negative toward those people as human beings in the Presbyterian denomination. But John Calvin in the year 1536 in Geneva, Switzerland, started the Presbyterian Church. What did people do for 1,500 years? You know what? I have surmised in my simple mind that all these people, they decided one thing, they had one thing in common. that God didn't know what was best for them. That they have a better way than what God planned and for what Jesus went through to establish the one church. That God didn't understand their needs. That God somehow didn't look deep enough into their souls and see what would satisfy them. We should obey God, not man. Acts 5, verse 28 and 29. I thank you so much for listening the way you have. So much more I know can be said, should be said maybe. But I hope you can see who drew the circle. It was God. He has His authority drawn and outlined and says, don't tamper with it. There's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through Christ. And we can't draw bigger circles and say, God, you don't understand my needs, so I'll just start me this church and I'll do this and I'll call myself that. Take your Bible and show me the religious group of which you are a member. Show it to me in the Bible. Show me when it was established. And show me by God's authority it was so. That's all I ask. As we've shown today that I'm a member of the Church of Christ because I can read about it in the Bible. And that's sufficient enough. Thank you so much. May God help us all to be people who are willing to submit our wills to His, to love Him, to obey Him regardless. You know, God knows what's best for me, and He's in charge, and He rules. And today all I ask is for you to consider these matters, that if you believe those things, and I hope that you do, that you'll repent of your thinking, your way, your desires, your wants, and you'll turn to God, and you'll confess the precious name of Jesus without fear or favor of man. We'll baptize you today, this hour, for the remission of your sins, and you'll be put into the church, added to the church, which you read about in the Bible, Acts 2, verse 47, and you will be God's child. Please do what the Bible says. Brother and sister, if you're away and need to come back in any way whatsoever, use this time to do so as we stand and sing.